Would you turn back to 1 John chapter 3, verse 10? I've entitled this message, Children of God and Children of the Devil. And you see that from this verse of Scripture. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. That's kind of a shocking thing to think about in a way, isn't it? Children of God and children of the devil. We don't normally think of people as actually being children of the devil's offspring. That's just not the way we think. But when you look at humanity, there is such diversity. Now, there's a sense in which everybody's the same. We all came out of Adam, and there's just not much difference between anybody. But it's also true that there's so much diversity among Adam's descendants, some good and some bad. The amount of languages that are spoken tells us something about the diversity and differences between men. You know, the Bible, parts of it at least, are translated into over 2,500 different languages. Now you think of all the different cultures, the different religions, the different ways of thinking, the different philosophies that are found in that many different languages. And there are at least 6,900 languages known, and there are probably more that we don't know anything about from different tribes and so on. There are different races, there are different ethnic groups, there are people in different countries with different religions and different philosophies, and there's such a difference made by wealth or the lack thereof, education or the lack thereof. Diversity can be good and diversity can be bad too, classes and so on. But with all the diversity, there are still only two groups. Children of God and children of the devil. There are only two groups. And you and I, right now, are in one of those two groups. We are either a child of God or we are a child of the devil. And John, in this verse of Scripture, tells us what the difference between a child of God and a child of the devil is. In verse 10, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, the child of God does righteousness, he loves his brother. The child of the devil does not righteousness and does not love his brother. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, because I want to show you what a issue this is in Scripture from this parable. Beginning in verse 24, Matthew chapter 13, verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Now, the tares looked just like the wheat. You couldn't really see much difference between them as far as the outward appearance goes. There was wheat and there was tares. And that's the way any church service is. They're wheat and they're tares. They're children of God and they're children of the devil. That's a sobering thought, but true nonetheless. Let's go on reading. Verse 27, so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? He saith unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go up and gather them up? But he said, No, don't do that. Lest while ye gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Look in verse 36. Same chapter. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. They didn't understand what the significance of this parable was. Explain this to us. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed, the gospel, is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now we see this concept scriptural, don't we? Children of the kingdom, children of God, children of the wicked one, children of the devil. Verse 39, the enemy that sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now here we see this concept. Our Lord brings in this parable of this thing of children of the devil and children of God. Well, I want to be a child of God, don't you? I do not want to be a child of the devil. And I'm so thankful for this parable. I love the way the Lord said in this parable when they said, You want us to get rid of the tares? He said, No, let them both alone. Let them grow together. You see, me and you, for the most part, don't have the sense to know who's the wheat and who's the tares. And we would end up pulling up the wheat. He said, Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm thankful for this parable, aren't you? Don't do it. You don't have, and I don't have the sense to know who the tare is and who the wheat is. I mean, sometimes it seems pretty apparent, but sometimes it's not. And the counsel is let them alone. Don't try to pull up the tares. I'm so thankful for that. But in this assembly, there are tares and there are wheat, they're children of God, and they're children of the devil. And judgment day will clearly show which. And I love this, back to our text in 1 John chapter 3. Verse 10, In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. That's a child of the devil. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Now turn to John chapter 8 for a moment. John chapter 8. Beginning in verse 30, John chapter 8. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, this group of many, If you continue in my word, Then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, let me remind you, it's not your knowledge of the truth that makes you free. It's the truth himself. He is the truth. And the only way you and I will ever be free is if the truth makes us free. And the Lord gives this promise, you shall know the truth. There's no freedom. There's no liberty apart from the truth. And the truth shall make you free. What a promise. Verse 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you shall be made free? Now, how ignorant. They were in bondage to Rome at that time. They were the tributaries of Rome, and they were under complete bondage when they said that. Yet, what an arrogant statement. We've never been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the slave of sin. What's that mean? Exactly what it says. If you commit sin, sin is your Lord and sin is your master. Anyone who commits sin is the slave, is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. Now, if the son therefore shall make you free, the only way you and I are ever going to be free from sin is if the son makes us free. If the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, I know, verse 37, that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I've seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. Now, see, he speaks of two different fathers. He speaks of my father, I do that which I've seen of my father, and you do that which you've seen of your father. Verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. You'd do what he did. You wouldn't be doing what you did. You're seeking to kill me. They hated him. They hated him. They didn't like what he was saying. Turn with me for a moment to Genesis chapter 18. I want us to see about these children of Abraham. They claimed to be children of Abraham. He said, if you were, you'd do what Abraham did. So obviously you're not true children of Abraham. Look in Genesis chapter 18. This is when the Lord is getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says in verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Speaking of destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Now, do you see that passage of Scripture? His descendants are going to do justice and judgment. Now, his physical descendants were the wickedest bunch of people you'll ever come across. I mean, you look at his grandsons, his great-grandsons, Reuben and unstable as water, who won't. They were bad people. And if you look at the children of Israel, the children of Israel were disobedient, unbelieving, idolatrous people. So when he's speaking of Abraham commanding his children, he's talking about his spiritual children. You see, Abraham is the father of the faithful. A child of Abraham is a believer. Look in Galatians chapter 3. I want you to see this so you understand what the Lord is saying to these people. Galatians chapter 3. The whole idea of a Jew. Believers are Jews. You're looking at a Jew. I'm a true Jew. He is a Jew which is not one outwardly, but one inwardly, whose circumcision is that of the heart, not the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now look at this scripture in Galatians chapter 3. Verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's what a child of God is. He's someone who looks to Christ only. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ to put on Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now these people were saying, we're Abraham's seed. Abraham's our father. And the Lord says, if he was, you'd do the works of Abraham. Now turn back to John chapter 8. Verse 40. But now, John 8, 40, but now you seek to kill me. A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Now, you know when people find out that they hate Christ? When they hear the truth. That's when men find out what they really think about God, when they hear the truth. Do you love God? Well, of course I do. Well, let me tell you what he's like. He's absolutely sovereign. He's the first cause of all things. You're in his hands and your salvation's up to him. I mean, he can save you or he can pass you by. I don't love that God. I know you don't. I know you don't. Men's hatred of God comes out when they hear the truth. He said, you seek to kill me because I tell you the truth. This did not Abraham, verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. They said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. God's our Father. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. I love the simplicity of that. If God were your Father, you claim he is. If God were your Father, you'd love me. You'd love my person. You'd love who I am. You'd love my attributes. You'd love my sovereignty. You'd love my holiness. You'd love my justice. You'd love my power. You'd love my word. You'd love my words. You'd love my righteousness as your only righteousness before God. You'd love my precious blood that makes you perfect before God. You'd love my intercession. You'd love my reign and rule at the right hand of the Father. Oh, you'd love my return. If God were your Father, you'd love me. Now this is what all of God's children have in common. Every one of them love the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't love him as they ought to love him, and everybody knows that. We ought to love him more than we do, and it's a shame that we even have to say something like that. But concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, every believer loves him, and we wouldn't change him if it were in our power. We love him just the way he is, just as he's revealed in the Scripture. He says, if God were your Father, you'd love me. Verse 42, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. He's the sent one. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Because you can't. You lack the ability. You cannot. You are unable to hear my word. Do you know that you will not and I will not understand anything in the gospel unless he's pleased to make it known? It's just beyond us. You cannot hear my word. Now look what he says in verse 44. And how would they have felt when he said this? You are of your father, the devil. You know, I think when he spoke to those people in Matthew chapter 23, he said, you snakes, you generation of vipers. And this is what he's referring to, them being children of the devil. And he says to these people, you are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. And he points out three things about Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of her. Now here is the family likeness that all children of the devil have with him. First, he says he's a murderer. He's a murderer from the beginning. And John tells us later on in 1 John chapter 3 that to hate your brother is to be a murderer. This is what all of his children have in common. He's a murderer. And then it says, he abode not in the truth. You know something an unbeliever cannot do is abide in the truth, abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. They can't do it. I mean, they might seem to be there for a while, but they're not going to stay there. They're going to leave. He said he could not abide in the truth. And then he says, he's a liar. He's a liar and the father of it. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. Remember how he lied to our first parents in the Garden of Eden? And this is his method of operation, lies. Now let me ask you a question. Do you ever lie? Do you ever lie? Well, if the answer to that is yes, you know what that makes you? A liar. Simple enough. Somebody says, now I can't take it that far. You mean my character is that of a liar? Yeah. Yeah. But what if I've only lied once? That makes you a liar. What if you only murdered somebody once? That makes you a murderer. What if you only robbed a bank once? Well, that makes you a robber. And if you lie, a lie. This is, oh, what an evil thing lies are. And Satan is the father of lies. Now let's go on reading. You're of your father the devil. The lust of your father you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And I think of the natural man. I think of myself. What do I think of myself? I'm a liar. I'm a liar. I always present something that's not totally true. You do too. Somebody says, I'm always honest. You just lied right then. There's no such thing as that. And what I thought of when I was thinking about this is there in Romans chapter 1 where it says they held down the truth in unrighteousness. They heard the truth and they held it down in unrighteousness because they didn't like what they heard. We don't like a God like that, therefore we'll change him to be like unto a creature, a four-footed beast and creeping things. We'll change the truth of God into a lie and worship the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. That's what men do. They don't like what they hear. So they hold it down, change the truth of God. It's called a lie. That's all men by nature, liars. They lie about themselves and they never take a place as a sinner before God. They know nothing of honesty before God. Now let's go on reading verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? Not one of you can. And if I say the truth, why don't you believe me? Here's the reason. He that's of God heareth God's words. I'm either of God or the devil. He that's of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. And this is everybody's response, verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast the devil? You're the one demon-possessed saying things like that. That was their response to the Lord. Now go back to our text. And you see how clearly this concept is taught in the Scriptures that they're children of the God and they're children of the devil. Now look what John says is the difference between the two. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, what is this thing of doing righteousness? Good question, isn't it? What is meant by doing righteousness? I can tell you exactly what is meant by doing righteousness. Keeping the law perfectly. You know, it kills me the way these scriptures in 1 John 3 are presented to, well, that means the tenor of your life is righteousness, and you practice righteousness, and that's you might mess up some, but the tenor of your life is righteousness. No, if you have any sin at all, you can't say the tenor of your life is righteousness. That's being dishonest before God and dishonest with the Scripture. The doing of righteousness is the keeping of the law. Sin is the transgression of the law. In the very context of this, look in verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous, even as Jesus Christ is righteous. That's how righteous that one is who doeth righteousness. He that, verse 8, he that committeth sin is the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed, the seed of God, remains in him, that new nature, and he cannot sin. He lacks the ability to sin because he's born of God. In this the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, this gives us the true nature of justification. Justification is not some certificate or some declaration that says I'm not guilty, even though I still am. Everybody here, your conscience will not accept that. Well, God says I'm justified, but I know I'm really still sinful. You know, there are people right now in Lexington, Kentucky, who stand before the law justified. The law has nothing to say against them, but yet they've committed crimes that nobody knows about. Now, they stand before the law not guilty, but they still have sin that nobody knows anything about, crimes that nobody knows anything about. They're just before the law. They have a legal standing before the law. But you and I both know that that's not right before God. There are men who have gone before juries, and the juries have found them not guilty, and the law declares them to be justified, maybe through the missing evidence or the mistake of the jury or some slick lawyer being able to find some way to make them stand before God perfect, before the law, perfect and righteous. But you and I know that that's not real. You know that statement, justification, just as if I never sinned. That's a farce, because you still sinned. Justification means you never sinned. You never transgressed God's holy law. You've always been perfect and righteous before God. I want us, by the grace of God, to feed on that. No sin. Just before God. Righteous before God. I've always kept God's holy law. Now, when God justifies you, you are just. When God justifies you, you never sinned. You're a doer of righteousness. Look what it says. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Let me show you one passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 3. Now, all these preachers and people and commentaries that deal with this passage as well, he doesn't practice sin. Sin's not the bent and tenor of his life. If he's born of God, he's going to have a good life. Now, I'm all for a good life, but that has nothing to do with what that passage of Scripture is saying. It's just not what it's teaching. Look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it be so now, for thus it becometh us. Us. You know, I'm one of those us's he's talking about. All of God's elect, every believer. Thus it becometh us to fulfill how much righteousness? All righteousness. Now, when Jesus Christ fulfilled all righteousness, he did it as an us. And every single believer fulfilled all righteousness. Now, this is also, remember, there's only one righteousness, his. His. This is also talking about the actions of the new birth. He that's born of God, the new man, doth not commit sin. He can't sin. His seed, God's seed, remains in him. This new man is incapable of sin. Now, here's the problem we have with that. That doesn't line up with my experience. I see this in the Word of God. It says, he that's born of God doth not commit sin. And this just doesn't line up with my experience. I can't get a hold of this. Well, the reason being is we're one man, we're two men with one consciousness. What do I mean by that? Well, here's a very simple illustration. When you go to the sink, the kitchen sink, I dare say you have one faucet. It used to be they'd have two faucets, you know, a hot one and a cold one, but for the most part, you only have one faucet. One faucet. And there's a hot water on one side and cold water on the other. They're totally different, but they come out of that same faucet, don't they? You have one consciousness. And the new man comes through him, the old man comes through him. And that's why it's so hard to get a hold of this thing of, well, I see it. Yeah, I know you do. And I do too. But every believer has two separate natures, a holy nature and a wicked nature. I'm going to talk more about that Sunday night. I want to bring a message on that. But the point is, not only did we really do righteousness when Christ did, I have perfect righteousness. I've kept the law. I don't have any sin. I've never disobeyed God's commandments because if Christ didn't, I didn't either. Now, believe it. That's all I can say about that. Believe it. Yeah, that's a hard to grasp. Believe it. You can't grasp it. Just believe it. This is the gospel. I'm not asking you to understand this, but I'm asking you to believe it. It's the truth. It's what God's Word teaches. And I have a holy, righteous nature. And you know, it's that holy nature that sees the sin and that owns the sin. A man without a holy nature doesn't even understand what sin is. He looks at it all as behavioral. He doesn't see the reality of the depths of his own sinfulness because he doesn't have a holy nature. And if somebody hears him talk, then what's wrong with you? Boy, you need to get a better attitude about yourself. You're so negative. Well, you don't understand. A believer understands. Neither, back to our text, and this is the children of God are manifested, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Those who are of God do righteousness. They do righteousness. This is not righteousness as the bent and tenor of their life. It's absolute perfect righteousness. They keep God's law all the time. Because if Christ did, I did too. And we have a righteous nature that does not commit sin. That's what the Bible says. And he gives another example. Neither he that loveth not his brother. The love of the brethren is an evidence that a child of the devil is incapable of. Now he can love his wife. She can love her husband. He can love his children. He can love his country. He can love his friends. And I'm thankful for these human loves. But the kind of love that John's talking about, a child of the devil cannot perform. Look in 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And you see, he that loveth, every one of them, they're born of God. Now, what is this love of the brethren? Well, who are the brethren? The brethren are the ones who have the same Father. It's that simple. They're the ones who have the same Father. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for the which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. The brethren are those who are eternally united to Christ. Moreover, whom he did, those he predestinated to be, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Now, every brother loves every brother. It doesn't have to be taught. It comes natural. It's the love of the Spirit, which is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What is the evidence that the Lord gave in John chapter 13? By this shall all men know you're my disciples, by your love one toward another. And it's that love that's expressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Go home and read it sometime this week. It's a beautiful chapter. But all of God's people, all of God's children, they do righteousness. That's true in justification. That's how real justification is. I don't have any sin. I've never broken God's law. You know that. That's the only thing that satisfies my conscience. Nothing else does. But that said, I stand faultless before God's law because when Christ kept it, I did too. And I have a nature given to me in the new birth, that which is born of God that does not commit sin. There's righteousness. And those who have this nature, the reason they love is because they're born of God. Now that's something that cannot be duplicated. Only a believer can do this because he is born of God. And the two kinds of people in this world, children of God and children of the devil. And you know, if you would ask most people who are children of the devil, they wouldn't know it. Or you think they wouldn't think they're children of the devil. They'd say, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? And in your name have we not cast out demons? And in your name have we not done many wonderful works? They wouldn't think of themselves as children of the devil. But it's very evident in the Scripture that there are only two kinds of people, children of God and children of the devil. Now let me leave you with this thought. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. And this, verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now this is what no unbeliever, no child of the devil could ever do. Simply believe on the name of his Son. They always have to add something to it. They can't believe, they can't rest that his name is everything in salvation. He saves for his name's sake. And he is all in salvation. An unbeliever can never simply trust Christ alone. Can't do it. But a believer can because he doesn't have anywhere else to go. He doesn't have anything else to trust. That's all he's got. Every believer's like that. And every child of God loves God's people. You see, if God loves them, if they're loved by Christ, we can't help but love God's people. Children of God and children of the devil. I tell you, I don't want to be a child of the devil. Lord, cause me to be your child through faith in your Son. Let's pray. Lord, we know that by nature, we're no different than any child of the devil. Lord, we really believe that in and of ourselves, we're as bad as Satan himself. But Lord, how amazed we are that you've made us through thy Son, your own dear children. Lord, enable us to walk as thy children. We know the world will not be impressed with that. The world won't know us, won't recognize us. But Lord, we don't care what the world thinks. We care what you think. And we ask that you would enable us to believe the gospel, to believe on the name of thy Son, and enable us to love one another as you've given us commandment. Bless this word for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Matt, come lead us closing.